I want to quote a comment by a leading pastor made some 30, 40 years ago. It's in a law review article I cite in God Betrayed and also in Separation of Church and State. Nearly 30 years ago, an eminent minister insisted before Congress that the First Amendment should not permit the state to tell the church when it is being religious and when it is not. The church must be permitted to define its own goals in society in terms of the imperatives of its religious faith. Is the Christian church somehow not being religious when it works on behalf of healing the sick or the rights of minorities or as peacemaker on the international scene? No, the church itself must define the perimeters of its outreach on public policy questions. A New Testament church is forever protected by God and presently by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution and by provisions in state constitutions as well. On the other hand, a state-incorporated church enters into a contract with the state, the sovereign of the corporation. An incorporated church assumes a second personality, that of an artificial person, a legal entity, capable of suing and being sued. Incorporation provides for civil government regulation in many areas, and it does not protect the church from all governmental interference with matters outside the contract. When a church seeks and acquires 501c3 status, she thereby has agreed to certain further restrictions and that she will abide by public policy. She also submits herself to anti-biblical teaching from civil government through the Internal Revenue Service. Most egregious of all, according to the Bible, the church that does so, like Israel, who asked for a king, has committed a great wickedness against God, and the results will ultimately prove to be very undesirable. In fact, they're already proving to be so. Please permit me to now make a few more closing remarks as I end this study concerning the 501c3 incorporation of churches, the creation of legal entities in any way by churches. Pastors and Christians need to seriously look at the issues I've been talking about. Incorporation subjects churches to an earthly head, the state, and requires churches to comply with earthly principles and procedures in many matters rather than God's biblical principles and procedures in all matters. An incorporated church has formed, in addition to the biblical covenant or marriage between the church and the Lord Jesus Christ, earthly contracts to which the state is the sovereign party. A New Testament church is under God only. An incorporated church is under both God and the civil government. Corporate trustees of incorporated churches conduct church matters according to contract principles, and therefore, to one degree or another, they walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. Factually, the corporation, according to state law, owns the property utilized by the church. Incorporation also creates several contracts, contracts between the contracting entities, that is, the members of the incorporated church, contracts between each contracting entity and the state. In other words, each church member and the state. Contracts between the entity thereby created and the state and between the members amongst themselves. In addition, the members own the corporation. The members, owners of the church, not the pastor, are the overseers, rulers, and trustees of the church. And the members, owners, many times exercise their contractual rights given them by their sovereign state to control the pastor, even hiring or firing pastors at will. Unnecessary submission by churches to the Internal Revenue Code provisions has further entangled churches with the civil government. Civil government has enticed almost all incorporated churches to become religious organizations under federal law, the Internal Revenue Code. The Internal Revenue Code presents an exemption education control scheme which most churches have not been able to resist. State help and state methods are designed to keep the gospel within the four walls of a building and then to allow the civil government to enter those four walls. A corporate 501c3 church grieves our Lord by placing herself under an additional head. Churches must be careful to maintain their New Testament church status. They must also make sure that they do not inadvertently become legal entities through any means, including incorporation in 501c3. Every born-again believer should attempt to make sure that he and the church he attends honors the Lord Jesus in all things. God takes his relationships with his children individually and with his churches very seriously and he wants them to do likewise. Deviation from God's principles has caused dire consequences to American individuals, families, churches, and to the nation as a whole. This has just been a summary. I've gone over these things in much detail throughout these radio broadcasts. I go into more detail in God Betrayed, a book I have written on this subject of separation of church and state. You can order that book and the other three books I've written from the links on my website, churchandstatelaw.com. Churchandstatelaw.com, spelled just like it sounds. CHURCHANDSTATELAW.com. Also, remember that all these broadcasts are being archived on that same website. Permit me to remind you that the most important thing is salvation. If you have not been saved, please consider looking into salvation. I have a page on my website that deals with salvation. Also, feel free to contact me. I would be glad to talk to you about the salvation that is provided through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us who are saved need to grow in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. We need to put on the whole armor of God, for we are fighting against powers, against principalities, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Our Lord wants us to occupy until He comes. He wants us to fight this battle in a manner that glorifies Him.